views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mindset Makeover. During this unique show, hosts Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter accompany you on a journey of mindful thinking, true feeling, and clearing mind chatter, all to align you with deep answers and multiple possibilities that help you move forward and live in the now. You become present, clear, and unstuck, and able to live fully led by your heart. Michelle and Lisa invite you to listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. Open up to what's possible and experience a shift.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mindset Makeover What's Possible, the show that shifts. I'm Lisa Berry, and though we are missing Michelle Carter today, she will be back next week for another magical show. Today we have a very special guest. I'm so lucky to have such a lovely light suddenly shine in my life. And before I introduce Cheryl properly and bring her on, I want to get all of you thinking about the different ways you experience healing, like a healing, and how you may be part of an other's healing, whether you know it or not. There comes a time in our lives when we choose what we're going to do. You know, like a title or a designation, a certificate or a degree, and that's something that helps us to share with another what our mission is. But as you might have heard me say before, our mission, in my opinion, in my view, is made up of all the decisions we make based on a purpose, which is to be happy. Healing and being healed, ending suffering and growing is a part of happiness. The surprise in all of that is how the healing comes about, the timing, the origin, the results, the outcome, or endings, actually, and the newness from what it brings. Our guest today, the lovely Cheryl Hirsch Kramer of Transformation Through Love. I'm going to say that all over because I don't want to mess up her thing, and I love when I mess up. She gives me the opportunity to go, what is that? Okay, so the lovely Cheryl Hirsch Kramer of Transforming Through Love brings the most incredible experiences, insights, and supports all of you today for the healing that you need. And the story she's about to share about the who, or even the what, that helped her heal is inspiring, entertaining, and truly will bring your heart to life. Welcome with absolute love, Cheryl, to our show.
It is such a pleasure to be here with you, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm so happy, and the way we met is incredible. So this is, as I said, it really will bring everybody's heart to life because I kind of led everybody there about the what or the who. So let's just share a bunch of stories. The healing is in the love, and that's what you share. And so you and I met an interesting thing, and it's because of love and a dog. So I can invite you to start wherever you would like because you have such an interesting life and story. And wherever you want to feel, wherever you feel comfortable to start, that's where I want you to start.
Well, thank you. I think where I'm going to start is by inviting the audience to drop any preconceptions they may have about things being good or bad. Things are. And we always have choice as to how we're going to react to whatever is presented to us in life. So I'm going to tell you a story, and you're going to say probably something to the effect, oh, my God, or that can't be possible, or but that's got to be a country and Western song waiting to happen, something like that. You know. But when this actually happened in my life, I just went with my gut. I went with my intuition. There was nothing else I could do. And because I followed my intuition, we got a miracle. So here's where the story begins. My mother passed away after a head injury that turned into the dementia that killed her. I was her primary caregiver, whether she was living with me or not. I did it for a long time, but I'm a highly sensitive person, and if any of you out there are also sensitive, it can be very difficult at times, even though you know what they're doing isn't personally directed towards you. It's because the brains aren't working the way they used to. They can be violent. They can be very inconsistent. And I wasn't able to deal with it anymore. I did my very, very best. So I sent her off to have care elsewhere, but I was still in charge of her case. I directed the supplements. I directed the care. I did anything I needed to do. She was my full-time job, and I loved the fact that I was able to give her this. And she let me learn a lot about my natural health work through her. I gave her supplements. I acted as her physician. Her physician gave me permission to do this. And I gave her homeopathics, and I gave her supplements, and I gave her diet, and I did energy therapies on her, and I gave her flower essences for the psychosis. And it was quite interesting. It worked. The people at the memory care unit thought I was a lunatic until they saw that the stuff I was doing actually worked. And then they said, huh, she's not so crazy after all. So
I love the recipe of everything.
It's interesting how the whole thing fits together. So this went on for 4 years and 2 months. The head injury turned into dementia, and she eventually died. And I was fried. I was so tired. At the same time, my aunt also had dementia. So I would visit both of them in different memory care units at the end of their lives. They had different dementias. Neither one was a natural dementia. Many people don't know that dementia can happen after a non-organic cause. In my mother's case, she had a head injury that turned into dementia. In my aunt's case, my aunt had COPD. And one day she had enough of the breathing tube, but she pulled it out, meaning her brain was deprived of oxygen. So she had hypoxia, and that's where she got her dementia. So neither one of them had a natural dementia, but they had dementia. And it was really difficult visiting my aunt, who had the same conversation every 2 minutes, the same 8 questions over and over again. And my mom, who was great in the present moment, but completely forgot her past. She didn't know she'd been married. She didn't know her parents. Many times she thought I was her mother, which was okay. And she was very functional. My mom could play word games, and she was brilliant at it. She could dress herself. She could feed herself. She was the confidant at the memory care unit. People came over to talk to my mom because she was present. She was really great. But I was tired after 4 years and 2 months of dealing with my mom and, you know, seeing my aunt at the same time. So you would think after the thing ends, you have a chance to heal and recover. That didn't happen to me. In a period of 6 months, this is what went on. My boyfriend blew up at me the night my mother became fatally ill, and I went into PTSD, meaning I got to her bedside when she was in the coma too late to have the last conversation. A month after my mom died, my best friend passed away from cancer. 2 months after that, I recovered memories of having been sexually abused as a young child by one of my favorite relatives. I didn't know what this had happened. I buried it for over 50 years. His memories came back. 2 months after that, my aunt passed away. And then the month after that, one of my dear friends also passed away. While all this was going on, like that wasn't enough, right? While all this was going on, a lot of people who'd promised to be there for me turned out to not keep their promises. They were just speaking words. And the ones who were there left pretty quickly, and they would say things to me like, congratulations on releasing so many. Can you just feel the heart energy and the love on that one? Congratulations on releasing so many. Congratulations on reaching the next step. Or, you know, get over yourself. You shouldn't be upset. You know, stop it. Grieving is not natural. And I'm like, really? I went through a lot here. I didn't have some time to
It feels like it's real. Yeah, you actually, at the moment when a lot of people are right now probably connecting to like the multiple things that you just shared with us, there's one that somebody has gone through or going through. So yes, thank you for sharing this. This is very personal.
I think it's important to share this because, you know, people usually edit their stories to make themselves look good. I don't really care how they look. I just want people to get what they need from this hour we have together. So if I don't look good, that's okay. Take whatever you need from this. So I was really burned out, and I was feeling very lonely, and I was feeling traumatized, and I was feeling confused, and this isn't the way life is supposed to work. People I went to for healing work, one hypnotherapist tried to plant a post-hypnotic suggestion to get me into a BDSM relationship. A spiritual counselor I went to tried to shake me down for $2,000. I mean, it was unbelievable, the stuff that was happening to me. And I'd had enough. So 13 months after my mother passed away, I was driving home from lunch, and this is significant. This happened on the 3rd of March, the third day of the third month.
Thursday,
Okay, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Route 33. And I'm not making this up. This really happened.
We love threes. This is our number.
Threes are awesome. So I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, I feel this lurching in my chest. And I couldn't hold the steering wheel. My left arm went numb. And I really thought I was dying. And in that moment, I heard somebody say, "You're not dying." And I'm like, "What? Who are you? And why are you telling me this?" And I do mediumship. Like, can I not have a couple of minutes left to die? We'll talk after I cross over, but can I not have a couple of minutes left to die right now? Then we'll continue the conversation. And she's telling me, you're not dying. I'm like, really? So she wanted me to convey a message to her grandson. I'd never met this woman when she was alive. She died years before I'd met her grandson. This was the boyfriend who blew up at me the night that my mom became fatally ill. And she wanted me to convey a message to him. I'm like, okay, well, and I didn't have a cell phone to call for help. So I just prayed I'd get home, which was a few minutes away, and I wouldn't hurt anybody in the process. And I did get home. I didn't hurt anybody. Didn't hit anybody's car. Somehow I got home and I went to bed. A couple weeks later,
you went to bed.
I went to bed. Yeah, I didn't call the hospital and I didn't call the ambulance. I knew the best thing I could do for myself was rest. I'd been through so much trauma.
Listening to intuition, having faith, and having faith.
And the other thing was, I knew that I'd been so traumatized that even the medical care would probably be a good idea at that moment. I couldn't handle the trauma that goes along with medical care. Do you know what I mean by that?
I love that you said that. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm not telling people to do what I did. Please, if this ever happens to you, call the doctor, call the ambulance, do all that stuff you're supposed to do. This was a very specific circumstance I was going through. So I did what I thought I needed to do in that moment. So I went to bed. I couldn't really move very much. I was really tired. And the grandson of this woman who'd come to me when I was theoretically dying wanted to speak. And I sent him an email saying, I just had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. And if you speak with me, you have to treat me with kindness, gentleness, with love. I'm very fragile right now. So I need kindness, I need gentleness, and I need love. And if that's not something you can do, don't call. But I do have something I need to tell you. So I didn't realize I had had something that's called stress cardiomyopathy. What this is like a heart attack, but it doesn't leave lasting damage. You have all the symptoms of a heart attack. You have the pain down your left arm. You have the hot. You have the inability to do things. You feel your body lurching like my body lurched. All that was real, but I would have recovered completely if the conversation I'm about to describe hadn't happened. He was angry that I had limited him as to what he could say to me, and he didn't believe that being angry was going to hurt my health. Now, usually it takes 4 to 6 weeks after a cardiac event for the stress hormones to calm down enough so that everything can recover and return to normal. Instead, he raised my stress hormones. The last thing I remember him saying to me was, surely you don't expect me to believe that, and that's when I had my stroke. Okay.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Not making any of this up. So I don't remember what happened. I thought my brain exploded. That part I remember. My brain exploded, and I live alone with my dog at the time. So all I could do was just, I guess I hung up the phone, and I guess I went to bed, and I, again, didn't call for medical care, which I wouldn't recommend anybody again. This is not a recommendation. But I knew
you know what, Cheryl, I have to hold you on that exciting, exciting moment, because we're going to find out what happened when we come back after this first break. Okay.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right. Oh, my goodness. That was like the fastest commercial break. I'm so excited to hear the story. So just to bring the listeners up to speed again, whoever missed, we're listening to Cheryl, how she was saying, though she was in going through this very traumatic time and moment, she is still in service to others. She's trying to deliver a message. And as she's honoring these boundaries that she has, and she needs to talk to the ex to deliver this message, she's asking him to, you know, like she's giving him limits, and he's not happy about this. So it sent her into this complete brain explosion of what it feels like. And now we're going to find out what she does at this time. Okay, Cheryl, I'm ready. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, I mean, one part of the thing, the butler did it. Okay, let's just get to the end real quickly. And look on. Yeah, it's an interesting story. If this didn't happen to me, I would find this absolutely fascinating. It's a whole different thing.
We do.
So here I am. My brain has exploded. I have no idea what to do. I really couldn't think. I was really tired. All I knew to do was go to bed and sleep. And I'd lost a lot of abilities. I remember not being able to walk the steps. When I'd adopted my dog, I think it was 8 years earlier, I had to teach her how to walk the steps. Now I watched her to learn how to walk the steps. I had a paralyzed left arm, which creates a whole different set of circumstances. It's back now. I have my arm back, but I didn't have it for a long time, like a year or two. I forget exactly how long. And I didn't know how to drive. I didn't know what foot went where. I had no one to take care of me, so I didn't have nurse or anybody to cook for me or anybody to shop for me. I had to drive whether I understood how to do it or not. It was really an experience I didn't expect to have. So here I am. My brain is pretty much shattered as much as I can see. And I just start listening to my intuition. And I got led, because I'm a natural health consultant by training, I got led to a series of natural remedies and energy therapies. And I went to a shaman for a while. I mean, it sounds really bizarre to people who aren't on a spiritual path, but the shaman helped me get back a lot of the movement in my shoulder. She said that my arm, wait till you hear this. She said, your arm thought that you've died. So your arm went to the great arm in the sky, and you have to bring it back.
And it's the left arm. You said the left arm. The heart arm.
It's the heart. Yeah, it is. So she brought back a lot of my shoulder, and that got a lot of the movement, not all the movement back, but it got a lot of the movement back. I couldn't solve problems. I couldn't hold change in my hand. I was all of a sudden really allergic to metal. So if I held a dime, I would flip out. My sensitivity was so strong. Driving was a challenge because I couldn't handle driving under signs that hang over the roadway. I couldn't handle driving over bridges that had a metal superstructure, way too much metal for me. I couldn't drive through toll booths. I couldn't drive on highways. I had aphasia, which means I wouldn't always know what I was talking about. My brain had one idea, and my mouth had a different idea. And sometimes my mouth said things that were completely disconnected from my brain. I did a lot of swearing. I was Sophia Petrillo from the Golden Girls. I did a lot of cursing.
Oh, my goodness.
I did a lot of swearing.
I love that show.
It was a great show.
That's scary.
Sophia is my role model. It was scary.
Were you aware that you're like on some level? Were you aware that your brain was thinking one thing and that your mouth was saying nothing, or did you have no awareness of this? And then you were just shocked at the responses from people.
Well, I knew from the get go, right from the heart attack, that this was a spiritual experience. That I knew that right away. And the stroke was also a spiritual experience. I never looked at these as physical things. I looked at them as spiritual things. So because
Very
of
helpful.
That, my higher self was watching. And, you know, giving me guidance. So there was a part of me that looked at this and saying, isn't this fascinating that you can't do this stuff anymore? And then there's the physical part of me that's saying, what happened? Why can't I think? Why can't I function? So I did a bunch of things. I did some alternative brain training work. My shaman, a physical therapist, she was a physical therapist and a shaman. So she said, you know, you need to do something. There's a gentle bouncing movement, because your brain needs to know what it feels like to have gentle bounce for whatever the reason. And she said, get a bounce ball. That was boring.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do a bounce ball. Forget that.
So what I did
Not
for you.
Is, Well, you know, even though I don't really have a brain, I know what fun is. And there was a place near me that rents out paddle boats, and they had a swan paddle boat. And I always wanted to go on a swan boat. So I figured, let me just go over there and see if they'll rent to me. So I talked to the woman and I said, well, just so you know, I've had a stroke a couple of months ago. She says, nice to meet you. Here's a medical waiver form. Sign this and then we'll get into that kind of a thing.
Ah, yes.
So she gave me the life jacket and she says, stay out as long as you want. And for that whole summer, I would pay for half an hour and I could be out for hours if I wanted to, just very gently paddling with my feet. And that was so much fun and so relaxing. It was really great. So I'm
I really
working
appreciate.
very. Go ahead,
I really
please.
appreciate that woman who did that. She extended her love, her, you know, helping in your healing like that. Like, remember in the beginning, I was saying how we don't even know sometimes what how like how big of a role we're playing in somebody else's healing. And I love that you had that connection with her, and she's like, yeah, you know what, just go for it. And you had the courage to say, I need swan paddle boating.
It was a great idea for me to have, and it wasn't my idea. Whatever gave me that idea, because keep in mind, I had a non-functional brain at that moment. I'm grateful for the idea showing up in my life, and I'm grateful for her understanding that I needed it. I mean, people looked at me. I had that deer in the headlights look that people get after a stroke.
Right.
Clearly, you could see I'd gone through something. So I'm going through this whole brain trauma thing, and while I'm going through this, other things are going on. Like I was struck by lightning while sitting in my car, and then I live near New York City, so we got hit by Hurricane Sandy, so we lost power for a week and a half. And it's like, seriously, when are the locusts coming? You know, you start to laugh
about
that.
Right. Don't bring them on.
Oh man! And my dog wouldn't leave the house. She was my protector, and even though we had no power, no heat, and no cable, anything like that, no, we're not leaving the house. Mom is staying here. I'm protecting you at home. So yeah, we froze for about 10 days and we had no power. I couldn't cook for her. All our food went bad, all that stuff, you know, but we're hanging in. I'm still alive. God knows why. I'm still alive and she's there with me. And then
this is Layla. Is this Leela?
This is Layla. And here's where it gets really interesting. Like this hasn't been interesting yet, right? Here's where it gets really interesting.
Wait.
I had a dream and here's the dream. This was in January of 2013. And the dream was, and keep in mind, I never let her go off lead. I wouldn't even take her to dog parks because I knew that. And Layla was probably part husky. Huskies are known to run. So it was really important to me never to let her go off lead. So somehow she got out of the house. She got out the front door and she got out the back gate. And I found out about this and I start running after her. And she's going faster. The faster I'm running, the faster she's running. And then I lose sight of her. And all of a sudden, I come to a place that doesn't exist in real life. Where I live, it's pretty flat. Well, the terrain all of a sudden sloped downwards, and there was a creek or a small river. And on the other side of this, there was a golf course built on a hill, and it was all greens. And I saw a lot of people looking at me, standing on this golf course, kind of like South Park, where everybody faces forward. You can get the visual. You know, people aren't really focused on South Park. They all face forward. And they were people, and they were all holding golf clubs, but they weren't playing golf. And I saw my mother on this golf course. My mother at that point was, as I remembered her from when I was young, so she was in her 30s. My mom died, she was 91. So right away, I knew my mother had died. And then I saw Layla was standing next to my mother. And I knew at that moment that Layla was going to die. And I couldn't handle her dying. I couldn't handle it. So I started crying. Please, Layla, come back. I'm not ready to let you go. I love you. I need you. What did I do? I'm so sorry I did this to you. Please. And I kept crying. And she's with my mother. And I realized she wasn't going to come back to me. So I start walking home, and I'm crying all the way. And all of a sudden, I feel a furry face at my knee.
Oh.
And guess who it was? He came back.
Oh, funny face. Oh, I love her.
She was amazing.
Oh.
So
it's like a reunion, even though it's been that short time, is because what had happened, that vision, that dream, that feeling, and then to have her be like just that, like that reunion. It feels so long, but it's just moments.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So I thought this was a significant dream, and I put it in the back of my mind, whatever I had that was working as a mind at that point. I kind of put it in filing and said, okay, well, that was interesting. And then 3 months later, I'm walking her. And she started breathing really heavily. I noticed that she was panting all night long and her energy wasn't good and she didn't look great. And I'm an animal communicator. And all of a sudden I heard her say, and this is the clearest she ever communicated with me when she was with me. She said, I have a tumor. This is not your fault. Don't go to extreme means to save my life. stay away from Jack, and, you know, it's all okay. And I'm like, what?
Jack is your ex.
No, Jack is not my ex. No. I didn't know a Jack at this point.
Oh, you didn't even know a Jack. Oh, okay.
So here is, I have a tumor. I only have a few weeks. Don't go to extreme means to save my life. Okay, stay away from Jack. And don't feel bad about this. I'm like, Bob. So I'm like, okay. So this was a Sunday. Monday, I had her into the vet. My vet is a holistic vet. She gets who I am. But I didn't want to tell her any of this. I wanted her to find out what was going on her own. So I take her in, and the vet takes a look at her, puts her hand on her belly, and says, let's take an X-ray. And at that point, I knew. So I didn't say anything to the vet. The vet took the X-ray, and then she showed me the X-ray. There was this enormous tumor that was wrapped around her spleen, probably her liver, and at least one of the kidneys. I have the X-ray. My vet emailed it to me. People who can read X-rays look at this and say, how did she ever survive? It's that big. It's an enormous tumor. Then I told the vet what Layla had told me. I says, well, I can't go to extreme means to save her life. She made that clear. So the vet said, okay, let's give her some supplements. Let's change her diet. And that was it for veterinary care. She said, she'll be gone in 6 weeks. Enjoy the time that you have left. Okay, 6 weeks. So I had a stroke. And this is the great part of having a stroke. This is why I asked the audience to release what right or wrong, good or bad might look like. I understood the idea of terminal illness, and I understood the idea of cancer. My uncle had died of pancreatic cancer. I know what it looks like to lose somebody who's had cancer. But I wasn't able to connect my brain with the idea that she had to die. She could die. That was an option. But she didn't have to die. And how many people go to the doctor and they give a diagnosis and they say, you're going to die, and they believe the doctor because the doctor knows what he's talking about, right?
That is a very strong point. Can you just say that, just that you understood that she could die, but that she did not have to die?
She did not
I just really
to
want
die.
That to – yeah.
Yes.
And you felt that when you said your brain at that time was even not even functioning, that, well, were you feeling that in your heart or your soul or your mind or not really just like you just mean that that's what you were going through?
The great question, Lisa. I wish I had an answer for you. You know, I just knew because my brain wasn't functioning the way brains function. And if my brain hadn't had a stroke, I might have bought into what the vet said, but my brain had a stroke. And I thought, well, she doesn't have to die. That's just a word. Terminally ill is just a word. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the truth. And I remember
what a great place to go to commercial. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, but let everybody just sit and think about that, all the listeners. Something could happen, but it doesn't have to. And then let's just finish with what's possible. And then let's gonna find out what happened.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
I'm Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
All right, we are smack dab in the most intense and not crazy story of healing, like how healing happens, but through love. Cheryl's with us, and she's really in amongst all of this. Like, we're hearing about a lot of the traumas, and really why this story is so incredible is because really what the thread through it is how love, true love, and just being of service through love from whoever, whether it's an animal or a human or what a plant, nature experiences, how through that love, healing can really be achieved. Okay, so Cheryl, we're here with I keep saying Leela, but it's because I know a cat named Leela, and it's Layla.
Layla. Yeah. So, yeah. So here we are. We have the diagnosis. And I had watched my uncle die when his doctor had told him he had 6 months to live. At that point, my uncle lost all hope that he would survive, and he died 6 months and one day later. And I knew that the doctor had helped to create that by saying, there's no hope for you. Now, at that point, pancreatic cancer, I think, had about a 3% survival rate to 5 years, which is not high, but it's something. It's not completely hopeless, right? So I saw what the doctor's diagnosis had done to my uncle's spirit, and I wasn't going to do that to Layla. This had been my friend. She was the one who'd been with me through all these traumas. She was there when I was caregiving for my mother. She was there through some very difficult times, and I wanted to give her, whatever time that she had left, the best possible life. So I was guided to do this, and I could go into detail if you want to hear how. I got really pissed off is what happened. I had asked someone to take photographs of me and Layla because I didn't have photographs of her, and I wanted to keep some photographs. And this is somebody who would said to me previously, I'd do anything for you. And when I called him on it to ask him to do something, he said, well, why can't you find someone else? And I'm like, yeah, just join the crowd, dude. I have a lot of peace in my life right now. So he did agree to take the photographs. And while we were at the park, we met at the state park, really beautiful park. And Layla at that point, we did this the week that she was diagnosed. If you go on my website, transformingthroughlove.com, all of those photographs of us were taken 4 days after the diagnosis. I wanted it to happen when she still had good energy and she could still look like Layla. So we're
right.
In the park.
And you know what? I was going to say, that's actually really important about having not just memories, but physical or symbols, like holding something in your hand that's tangible, that reminds you of those good times so that you don't just, when something bad has happened or when somebody has passed, I know when my mom passed, I really try not to go there because I don't want to remember, at the worst, quote unquote. And sure. And I'm going to sidestep just for a quick moment here, because I know that when I was on your website, and we'll say it, it's transformingthroughlove.com. I actually spent the most time on a website that I've ever spent in my life, because it really was infused with love. Oh, funny that I'm using that word. I didn't mean to, because you actually have created a piece of jewelry, their bracelets, which are infused with oil and energy and vibration. And I already feel it of the love. And, you know, maybe somebody out there is, it's already happened and they don't have that. They can't go back in time to get a picture, a photograph of somebody that they've loved or an animal or something. But what you can have is a symbol, something tangible that you can have in your hand that reminds you of that good time that you just have, you know, overlaid that feeling, that image into that item. So it could be like a piece of jewelry. I know that you make those and you sell those. But it's just that when I saw that on the site, I could really see that there are things that we can do in our lives, even if it's already passed and we can't have that. I'm so happy that you had the opportunity to get those pictures taken. And I love seeing them because I was really able to see Layla in that moment of life and energy and love that you experienced with her.
It was magical, Lisa. I am so glad I had a chance to do this with her. And I'm so glad that she was healthy enough to do this with me. And I thought I was taking photographs to document our time together, not knowing that I was going to have a miracle. So you want to hear how we got the miracle?
Yes, I know the miracle. Yes, it's possible.
So I'm in the park with this guy who previously said I would do anything for you and then said, can't you get somebody else? He did agree to take the photographs. And it was a nice day in the park. It was really pretty. She was having fun. I was having fun. And then all of a sudden he gets a phone call from a friend. Not an emergency, and he stayed on the phone for 45 minutes while he's taking the photographs. And I'm like, seriously? Wow. It's kind of rude. And I really could use a friend right now. It would really be great if I had someone I could talk to. And at one point, I started to cry, and he said, stop it. He wouldn't let me cry. And I'm like, here's somebody else who won't let me feel. Great, join the club. You know? So here we are in this
strength.
Whatever it was, you know? And I was angry at this point. I had hit my last nerve had been worked at this point. So yeah. I was angry because I deserved to have somebody who was going to be there for me, even if for a couple of hours. I deserved to have that. I needed it. I was still recovering from the stroke. I was nowhere near as functional as what you're hearing right now. I was still in the very early stages of recovery, and this was happening to me. So a woman calls out to me, and I was wearing this cool red dress that you see on the website. She says, "I love your dress." And I said, "Thank you. A friend bought it for me at a nudist colony." And I said, "Who knew that they had red clothes in nudist colonies? I didn't know they had nude clothes. You don't think about the woman clothes there, but I guess you've got to wear something sometimes."
So we started the root chakra color, which is fantastic, because if you're going to start from nude, then you might as well start from the root chakra up.
You got it, baby. That's exactly what you want to know. So I noticed that when the woman said that to me, all of a sudden I felt I had a friend in this big park. I had a friend, somebody who wanted to be nice to me. I needed that. And I'm like, this feels good. Again, I wasn't making choices with my brain. Still didn't have a great brain. But my heart said, this feels good. I have somebody who cares. So people always came up to Layla because she was gorgeous. And this one man came up and said, "Your dog is beautiful." And at this point, I was so tired of being ignored and neglected and not treated with love. I said to him, "Would you do me a favor? My dog has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. The vet gives her 6 weeks to live. Would you pray for her?" And he says, "Of course." And we start talking about the gift that dogs are in our lives. And he shared stories, and I shared stories. And then as the photographer is getting into this, he'd never had a dog. He didn't understand that dogs were special. So we were educating him. Layla liked being talked about. I saw this. Her tail went up and her ears went up, and she was listening very intently to what we were saying. So after the man walked away, this was good. I felt better. You know, me and Layla and the photographer sat in the park for a couple hours, and Layla sat on his foot. She really liked him, and the photographer took down his walls. We actually made a nice connection for a while. It was really sweet. So then that day ended, and I knew what I had to do. I knew the first thing I needed to do was get people to pray for her, because I wasn't strong enough to do this on my own. I could not do this on my own.
I want to ask you something about prayer for you and for others. So say somebody doesn't pray right, they don't know how to pray. What's another word for you? See, when I think of a prayer, and if I didn't know how to pray, I would think, you know what, they're just words for my heart. But what could you share with somebody what you would say if somebody doesn't know how to pray, or they don't like that word, or that's not something they understand? What is it that you're asking somebody? Is it hope? Is it wishes? Like, what would be something that you could say that you were asking those other people to do, to give Layla?
That's a great question. I'm really glad that you asked that, because I ask a lot of people who weren't religious, who didn't believe in God, and I never was turned down. I'll tell you, I asked hundreds of people to pray for her over the course of the time that we did this. And what I would ask, depending on the vocabulary that the people would have, here's what I would do. I'd go up to strangers and I would say, "Hi, do you pray?" And if they would say no, I'd say, could you do me a favor? Could you picture Layla as having her highest good realized, whatever that is?
So let's imagine the outcome, the desired outcome. Okay.
Well, you know, and it wasn't about wanting her to live. I just wanted her to enjoy her life as long as she had. I wasn't focused on her living. I would have liked that for her. That would have been great. Okay. But I wasn't focused on that. I didn't know her contract. I didn't know what her deal was supposed to be. So I would just
the desired outcome in this way would be like comfort, happy, safety. Yes. Okay.
Feeling loved, feeling supported, things like that. Nobody ever turned me down. So the first thing was I asked everybody. I went to this town a half an hour from where I live. And it's a religious town, but it also has, I would call it an alternative community going along with it. So you've got the religious people, you've got the alternative people. And people there were delightful. They did prayer services for her. One woman did a laying of hands on Layla at 7 o'clock in the morning. She pulled over the street cleaner and she did this whole speaking in tongues thing. I never knew what this was. It felt okay to me. So I said, okay, let's go. And Layla understood what was happening to her. She felt better after this whole hands-on healing thing. This woman was not a Reiki master or anything. She was just somebody with love she wanted to give to another being. That's all she wanted to do.
I love that you just said that. She wasn't a Reiki master. She was just somebody with love. That's so important for everybody to hear that. Everybody out there, everybody listening right now, you are somebody with love, and there's people around you with love. And maybe it's not like, you know, that your photographer fell at the time. Maybe he didn't have enough to give to share at that moment because he needed it himself. But you know what? We all do have somebody. It's somebody with love. I love that. Sorry, I had to highlight that.
I love it too, because we have this idea that we don't have the natural healing power unless we go for Reiki training. I'm an IET master instructor. The same thing with IET. There's a lot of different healing modalities. We can all get trained and we can all get the attunements or the ignitions and we can all do what we have to do. But we all have this within us. We can just take these trainings to get better at it, but we have it intuitively. It was given to us.
And that's why Layla probably felt comfortable recognizing it, because she is somebody with love. Like, it's just all animals and plants and things. Okay, please continue. Yes, Layla.
Absolutely. So we did this hands-on healing, and then for 4 days, the woman had given me her address, and I didn't know where she lived. I didn't know this town very well. I knew the main street, but I didn't know the individual streets. Layla started taking me over to her house. She knew where the woman lived. I'm not making this up. For 4 days in a row, she took me over to the house, didn't see the woman. On the fifth day, we saw the woman. The woman came out. She says, "What a pretty dog." And I said, "Linda, do you remember us? You did a hands-on healing at 7 o'clock in the morning on the main street with the street cleaner." And she says, "I do remember you." She says, "That afternoon I collapsed. My medication needed to be adjusted and I was sent to the hospital. I just got home now."
Oh my gosh. Oh wow.
Yeah. Layla was checking on her friend. She knew her friend was in trouble and she was checking on her friend. Isn't this amazing?
Oh, I love this. And you know what? It's all intuition. It's just listening to your heart, your feeling, your, no matter who you are. And you honored Layla in that and went with her. Like, let's go.
Whatever she wanted at that point, it was all about her. So the first thing we did is, and I put her on prayer list to the point that a woman from India, I'm not making this up, a woman from India contacted me. She said, "Would you like me to pray for you and your dog?" How she learned about me, I have no idea. But she says, "We could do a prayer day just for you and your dog." I said, "Go for it." So people are directing all these blessings and prayers at us, and I got the other side of it. I started feeling better because people were praying for me as her caregiver. I didn't expect to get anything out of it, but I got something out of it. So the first step was asking for prayers and blessings. The second step was making sure that she felt loved and supported in this moment, not because I wanted her to live. I didn't know if that was supposed to happen or not, but I wanted her to feel appreciated. So I made sure I kept away from anybody who said that she was going to die because of the cancer diagnosis. I made sure every day I appreciated her for being there with me today, not necessarily tomorrow, but today. It was important to focus on this day, no other day. It was really being in the moment. Okay. And I would say things like, "You're such a great friend. You've been there for me for so many years. I love being with you. You're such good company." I always found ways to make her feel loved and supported. I made a point of cherishing her as much as I could with my words, with my actions. If people would start to say bad things about her, like, "Well, she's going to die," I would just walk away. I became great at being rude, because being rude wasn't going to save her life, was it?
Great at boundaries. I love, yes, when you're great at boundaries, because you really truly know the intent. And also, too, you're feeling good because you're giving that. And, oops, we're going to go into that commercial, but just before we go, the timing's working out perfectly here, too. It's divine timing. But the boundaries and knowing what your comfort goal is. So when we come back, we're going to find out exactly what those prayers and stuff, what they led to. So we'll be back soon.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Older buildings may contain asbestos and lead, pipe or other insulation, ceiling tiles, exterior siding, roof shingles, and sprayed-on soundproofing may contain asbestos. Disturbing materials containing lead-based paint may release lead dust into the air. If your home contains asbestos or lead-based paint, and any of these materials have been damaged or will be disturbed during cleanup, talk to public health authorities. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
All right, so just coming back to the story, very true story, very real story. The biggest thing, I just had this this really big wave come over me, Cheryl, about something called, I'm going to create this word here right now, and I'm going to call it present moment love. And the reason why I'm thinking this is going to be so important to the story, because of what you just shared with us about being there with Layla in that moment and nothing else mattered. Do you know that right now, a lot of us, I know that I do this sometimes, I'll think about what I used to love, but I loved it so much, or I'll never have it again, but I loved it then, or in the future, like, I can't wait to love that, or I can't wait to do it because I'm going to, but you know what? The very present moment love is really the moment that matters. And if we can come back to what we love and appreciate and are comfortable in this very moment, I think we won't have to work so hard to protect that bubble and to worry about it, because it's truly when we're going behind, like, I should have done this and I could have done that, or I loved that and I don't love it anymore, or future. So using that present moment love with everybody right now, I want them to hear the how the story goes for you, because I think this is just the most love-filled story ever. So I'll let you continue with that.
Thank you. And I'm glad you said that, because all we have is this moment. You know, we really don't have the past anymore. That's a memory. We don't have the future. That's something we're either afraid of or looking forward to, but it's not here yet. So we only have this moment. And what I did is, when this happened, when I got the diagnosis on Layla, I asked myself a question that ended up saving her life, which was, okay, I know really well how it feels not to be loved and supported when I'm going through difficult times. What if I turn it around and give her everything I wanted to get but didn't get? And that was a huge breakthrough for me. And so I basically had a doctorate level of education in how not to be loved. And I turned that around and I said, okay, now I know how to love somebody. Don't do that stuff. So we had the love, you know, and made sure everybody treated her with love. But if anybody wasn't nice to her, I distanced from them. The prayers and the blessings. Made sure we had fun every day. I did things that were fun for her, like going to the dog supply store, and she would get treats that were appropriate for a dog with cancer, and she would get petted, and people would say how beautiful, and she loved doing that, and we would go to parks, and I would walk up to people in parks and have them pray for her, and you know, all that. And then we did a service together. We had a service to humanity by asking for help. People really love to help. They really do.
They do.
So by asking for help, they felt like they were part of our process. So after she got well, the cancer was gone in a month, by the way, never returned. She died last year at age 16, not from cancer, old age. Okay.
Was amazing. I feel like we ran over that ending so quickly. Let's repeat it. Hold on here. So she actually lived how many years after that short week diagnosis?
2 years.
2 years. 2 years. And in that two years, she didn't even die of cancer.
She never had cancer again. The vet was, she'd seen this happen before. She said it's rare, and it was interesting watching everybody's reaction, because one of my friends knows I do angelic healing, which is, well, that only happens for angels. No, it happens for anybody if it's supposed to happen. I'm not saying that this is going to be everybody's story, but all I wanted to do was make her feel loved in that moment. That's all I was looking for. And it also gave me something to do besides worrying and grieving. It gave me something wonderful that I could do to help her feel happy. And by doing that, I help myself feel happy. So that's what I do. That's what I now offer coaching, where I have people do what we did, and it helps them enjoy their lives. If they've never learned how to do it, I help them do it. You know, I want to pass this on. This is important work.
Do you know, Cheryl, I read something on your site and it really jumped out to me. And it was, I don't know if this is your term or this is, but I read the word love technology. And I thought, you know what, out of all the science technology out there, I would want to go to love technology. So if you have, you know, I heard you go through the steps, you know, of asking and receiving and being there. If that's what you do, the love technology, if there's anybody out there listening right now or on the replays, absolutely contact Cheryl to receive and learn this love technology. Because if anybody knows how to do this, I love that you started. You started giving and doing this love technology, I'm going to say that, by knowing what you didn't have and what you wanted. And that's what you helped to. And I know that that's with all your intuitiveness and love and openness and willingness, that that's when the people come to you. And it's, can you give your website again? And then is that how they would come to you? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, thank you. My website is transformingthroughlove.com. You can also like me on Facebook and on LinkedIn. I post pictures of my bracelets every day now on Facebook, so like my page if you want to see my bracelets. They're called Bracelets from Heart. All of them have at least one bead, usually more, that have a heart in it, because it's about focusing on love, isn't it? especially in the world right now where things are so wild. If we focus on love, it makes it a lot better. And we can also help change the world into something wonderful by focusing on love. So I do this jewelry to help people keep their focus on love. I do my coaching to help people focus on love. The whole thing right now, after almost dying how many times and going through Layla's experience, if it's not about love, why bother doing it?
You know what's funny, Cheryl? So Michelle and I, when I met you a couple months ago and we were chatted, and I always referred to you as Cheryl Love. And Michelle actually thought that was your last name. And so eventually she goes, oh, I've got Cheryl Love on this for the show. And I said, yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, I've got to remember to get her full name or proper name. She goes, oh, no, it's Cheryl Love. And it was funny. And I'm sure she told her mom, Willie, because we always have to mention her mom, Willie Carter, on the show. But as this name goes around, it's like, you know, Willie will be known for her thing and everything. So I love that you're known as Cheryl Love, like in my world, because it's love and healing. And so when Michelle and I do any of our music and our songs, we choose the vibration of love because that's where healing is. So when you said, you know, it prevented or kept you from worrying or stressing out about things or being upset, that's the vibration where we don't experience healing. We actually experience disease. So in Michelle's My Musical world, you know, we love, that's why we infuse all of our coaching with the certain vibration of love. And that's what you're doing with those, with the hearts in the jewelry. And it's, everybody's got to see them. They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous, beautiful bracelets. And I think when you're making them, I can't imagine anything other than love coming from you and being infused onto those bracelets.
Well, again, my brain doesn't work the way people's brains normally work. So it's all coming through me from some other place. And where is that other place? That other place is the center of love.
Now, you've actually traveled the world. I mean, I remember we had our conversation. We just chatted and chatted and chatted. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there's like so many stories. We're going to have to come back again anyways. Now, we still have a few minutes because I want to, people to be able to share. You actually do something really cool. And we had this with Mike, our artist, last show about calligraphy. You actually do something. I want you to share them just really quickly about that. You did some kind of lettering or writing or something.
Yeah, for 35 years, I was a lettering artist, and I was good at it, and I loved it, and then I walked away from it in 1998. But the one thing I did do that I think you're referring to, I had a guest on my radio show, and her dog is named Layla. Can you imagine this? So I had to meet her dog. She had an Alaskan Malinois named Layla, and Layla and I got to meet each other, and I love the service the two of them do together. Layla is a therapy dog. She'll go to schools and help teach kids how to treat dogs. And she goes to the library every month, one day a month, so kids can read to her and get practice reading to an audience that's not going to judge her. She's also an agility dog. She's a top agility dog, I think, in history, and she's amazing. And for a Malamute. Wow. Malamutes are big dogs. They're not agility dogs, but Layla doesn't really care about looking at barriers either. Layla doesn't, what does Layla
do? Right.
So I brought my calligraphy back, and I gave her the Layla Award to honor my Layla, that they're in service together in a loving service partnership. And I'm going to keep giving out Layla Awards as long as I can.
Do you know what? That is the picture, how you and I connected. That it was of that Malamute, of the Alaskan Malamute. I saw that picture online, and it was Layla and the calligraphy. And I remember thinking, oh, I love words and I love the writing. And that is exactly the whole, that's why I knew there's a reason why. See, look at that. See, I didn't even know about that was going to be the reason why it brought up, but that is how you and I met. And I love just to end this, to say that that's, even think about that Alaskan Malamute, as you said, she's not made for it. It's not like she's an agility dog, but she's like, nah, I want to do agility. I like this. I feel good about it. And maybe perhaps it's even your Layla working through her. Who knows what problem the love and healing comes from. And with that, so when you said the award, because that's really cool that you made up an award that created this.
Because I'm good.
Because you're good. What's possible? And you know what? And there's another sign of what you just did to show an appreciation in like a physical form. So remember, in the physical form, so we're saying whether you have a symbol or a photograph of somebody or symbol, we could even create little awards for ourselves or for others because you can. And you can just give those. When was that you did that, the award? What year was that?
It was this year. It was 2 months ago.
Oh my goodness.
The cool thing about this is I hadn't done any serious lettering since 1998, and the stroke took out a lot of my motor skills. I still don't have a lot of my motor skills back again. But I said, I'm going to make this good, and I made a beautiful award. It's not a professional quality anymore, but for somebody who couldn't write a legible signature after the stroke, it's pretty good. Wow. I'm really proud of it.
Oh, is that posted anywhere on your website?
It isn't, but I probably will put it up now that we're talking about it. I'll make sure it's
yes.
up there.
I think that would be fantastic because I think other people who can see that, and I know that, you know, the judgment is lifted. When I think that's the biggest thing that we can do to, not the biggest, one of the things we can do to love ourselves, to start our own healing, is to drop the judgment. You know what? It's you're perfect is just meaning as long as it's with love, as long as that's,
yeah.
You know, so when you came from having that stroke and you could do all those things before, here you are, you're trying to figure, you don't even know, like, you know, you're trying to drive and go do this and go do that and take care of this. And the homeopathy, when you're doing all the healing of all those different kinds, you probably, did you have to relearn them or do they come back in pieces or?
It came back as I needed it. It was the connection. And about the judgment piece, I know you have to end, so I want to leave on this thing. Judgment can go away really fast when you stop making the thing about you and making it about what you can do for somebody else. When I
okay,
made
so
Layla,
say that again. I love that. What was that? Judgment
can go away when we stop focusing on ourselves and then start focusing on what we can do for somebody else. When that becomes our focus, judgment vanishes.
I love that. I have to sit with that. Just let me wrap my head around that. So I'm at home. I'm doing something, and I'm judging myself. Okay, so I'm like, you're not stupid, because I don't think I can even say that. But, you know, that was bad. You did a bad job. Then I'm focused on it because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I need to drop that. So if I were to stop in that moment and focus on or just go do something, help some. Maybe that's why I help my cat so much, because I don't want to judge myself. I'm constantly
yeah.
on them. But,
makes
okay,
sense.
So anybody right now is feeling that they're really or maybe they didn't even know. But if they have that sudden feeling of like, oh, my gosh, I've been judging myself. Maybe that's because we're so much into our own world and our own self that we need to just stop and reach out. Reach out to say, here, offer your hand somewhere, offer your assistance, offer your, just anything that you could do, offer a prayer to somebody else.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And you know what? I think that's exactly what you do when you offer your coaching. So you're there for that assistance and so they can help them not judge themselves. So everybody, please, thank you for listening and listening to Cheryl. And I would love for everybody to transform through love and they can reach you. Transform. Is it transform or transforming through love?
Transforming through love.
TransformingThroughLove.com. Thank you, everybody, so much.